Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be traveling to 11 other churches across America that have been labeled as New IFB, New Independent Fundamental Baptist. It's a movement of soul-winning, hard-preaching churches all over the country. And I'm going to visit each of them and check things out for myself.
It all looks the same?
So we pulled off here at Joshua Tree National Park because obviously we have to make a few little recreational stops along the way on this road trip. And this guy, Steven Jr., is in the fourth grade, so he gets free admission to all national parks in America. So that's one of the things we want to do on this trip in between stopping at these churches is just hit as many national parks as we possibly can. And so this is Joshua Tree, of course. And I was going to say something else. I totally forgot what it is. This guy's in the fourth grade. Did I mention he's in the fourth grade? And that he gets free admission to every national park in America? I don't remember what it's... I don't know.
What was that?
Well, we're going to be swimming at hotel swimming pools. We're going to swim in rivers, lakes.
Dad, can we still swim tonight?
Nope, only when we get to the East Coast.
My name is Morgan from First Works Baptist Church. I've been coming here for about 3 years. And the thing that I like about First Works Baptist Church is the fact that we have a great family camaraderie. The preaching is great. Pastor Mejia is very loving, very caring. He's able to just obviously relate to us at a personal level. Some of the greatest moments that I had with Pastor Mejia and ultimately at the church with the brethren is the fact that, after church, we're just like talking about any and everything. Bible, lifting weights, all different manners of subjects. And just the fact that we're able to just talk about anything, just it kind of brings us back to the point where it's like, you know, these like Christians are normal. You know, when I was younger, I had like this thing. I was like, Christians are just weird. Like, they're super nice. They don't want to do, you know, they don't steal or anything, but it just seemed like they were just kind of like in the distance. But, you know, at the church here, it's just like everybody just seemed normal. It was just like, we're normal and the world's crazy, you know?
I went to the very first Sunday, and I keep coming back because, one, the fellowship is amazing, and I get to feel like this has become part of my family. More important than that is that the truth is spoken without apology, And honestly, I didn't know what was coming. I started coming to this church 4 years ago, but 2 years ago, my husband, Anyway, I didn't know that I was going to need the strength that comes from having the fellowship and the hard preaching. And Pastor Mejia is so good about teaching us to be strong, to weather the storms, to allow ourselves to do what's right, even when we don't think we have the strength to do it. And the camaraderie and the stability. For example, when we got bombed last year, we actually got closer. I don't even think we lost one person. And I'm not, you know, if another church lost people when they had persecution, I understand that, but we didn't lose anyone. And so I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for First Works, because they've become my family and my life.
First Works Baptist Church is such a great church, and it's only been around for like less than 5 years, and it's already grown so much, and it really has its own distinctive personality. It's a really friendly church, a lot of great fellowship every time I go there, and so it's just really cool what they've accomplished in such a short period of time. Steven, largest tree in the world. What do you think?
It's big, large.
That's deep, man.
To come to church over here. I was traveling back and forth, and I lived over here because we go soul winning and they give me the truth. And I was going to Old IFB, and they really didn't have, they had a soul winning program, but it wasn't really involved. They didn't push to go soul winning. I love soul winning. I mean, I love Jesus.
Awesome. So you're getting more motivated over here, huh?
And I'm getting fed over here.
My wife and we have two kids, and we come to this church. We drive a little ways, about an hour away. But we really enjoy the preaching, being part of a church that's got good soul winning, a good program that's alive and reaching people and doing the First Works. That's what we've been looking for a long time, and found a church after getting saved. And so that's why we've been driving to this church. Really enjoy it. They got a lot of great stuff for the homeschool ministry and with young kids. That's an important part of it for us, we're looking for. But definitely love the preaching, the doctrines, and for sure the soul winning, being able to be a part of that ministry. That's what we would look for in a church.
first off, it's as special a church as I've ever been in. We live about 2 hours and 15 minutes from here. So we live in a town called Montesano, and we actually came here just to visit, just to kind of like see if they had some prospective wives for my son. And like, the second we heard the preaching and the people, they checked our salvation. We go soul winning. We never went soul winning. We're never trained to go soul winning. We heard about all that, you know, actually watching your sermons online. But the church is just a lot of good fellowship. The soul winning is awesome that we get to consistently go soul winning. We were trying to push for our church to go, never went. And really, like, the doctrinal preaching is just awesome, too. It's just been an amazing, life-changing experience coming here. I mean, for my wife and I and for our family, just, like, growing. We never thought we'd be, like, consistent soul winners. We're actually moving right now. We're in the process of selling our home so we could actually be closer, so we could just serve more and do more because we don't have a lot of time. We got saved late in life, and really just... Pastor Thompson is just an awesome pastor. I mean, he leads really well. You'd run into a brick wall for him, and really, it's not anything more than just he preaches the Bible. He's not he's not embarrassed about it. He's not ashamed of it. He's bold, and that's all you could want.
We've got people here that are motivated to go soul winning, that care about lost people. We have, like, almost total soul winning participation, which I've been in other independent Baptist churches where that's not the case, you know, where it's just a small minority that goes soul winning. Got a pastor that doesn't shy away from preaching the hard things in the Bible, and the congregation backs him up on that instead of, you know, people whining and leaving because something, some hard saying from the Bible was preached over the pulpit. So there's a lot of good things here that set it apart from just a run-of-the-mill IFB church.
All right, so we made it here to Spokane, Washington. We're out on a soul winning marathon in a nearby town called Cheney, Washington. My soul winning partner and I were able to win one to the Lord, and they got a bunch of people out soul winning, and we're excited about church tomorrow at Sure Foundation Baptist Church in Spokane, the church plant out here.
Well, I floated from church to church for many years, and I never even knew what it took to be saved. And then one day the brothers from this church came to my door, got me saved on the spot, brought me to church. And every time I've had a question, they've had an answer right out of the Bible. And, you know, I just learned so much here.
So I really enjoyed coming to Sure Foundation here in Spokane, just because it was the first church that I've been a part of that was soul winning full time. I went to a really nice old IFB church before. It was my first church. Really loved the people, really loved them. But they only did door hangers. I never felt I could get in their ministries, which was cleaning. But I really felt that I should be doing more of kind of what's in the books of Acts. And, you know, just going out today, seeing a few people saved, it always just brightens my week. And, you know, I get too focused in the flesh, and it's just great to always have that spiritual refresher that I'm only traveling through. So going out and saving souls is why I love being part of this church.
Amen. How long have you been saved, or how did you get saved?
Well, that's your fault, actually. I'll try to do this short, very quick. I was reading Gulag Archipelago. They mentioned Baptists, and I was an atheist finishing up my master's in the UW, University of Washington. And it said Baptist, and I didn't know about religion. I thought there were Mormons, only American things, so I thought it was a translation error from Russian. And I typed in Baptist preacher, and this doesn't happen anymore, but the most hateful preacher in America came up, which happened to be Pastor Steven Anderson. And I started watching that, and at first it was more of a Jerry Springer's thing, but it slowly made more sense, and actually seeing the difference between what college will not read the Bible, and I got more interested in the Bible, and just over time I got saved, and a sermon said, get in church. So I just started going to an old IFB church, which was in Bothell, Washington, and then over a few years, through a few job changes, I finally had the luck to mix employment with a new IFB church.
Thank you.
Tell me what you got. Good one.
My name's Jeff, and I've been at Shield of Faith Baptist Church here in Boise, Idaho for 3 years. My family and I moved here from Montana, Kalispell, Montana, and my first taste of the new IFB was the Mega Soul Winning Marathon. I traveled to Phoenix. I met Pastor Anderson and Pastor Berzins, and hooked up with Pastor Berzins to help him lead the Soul Winning Marathon in Great Falls, Montana. It was a great opportunity. The message of the new IFB was great. I mean, I didn't have a new IFB church there, but I went faithfully with my family to Rocky Mountain Baptist Church there, and it was great. You know, we got involved in soul winning there. We learned to be weekly soul winners. We learned to be three to thrive. We learned to be faithful to church. I think that was a good preparation before we came here. We learned to be faithful church members. And we love Pastor Jones. Pastor Jones and his family, they give you the shirt off their back. They do anything for their church. And they love the people of the Treasure Valley. We love seeing people get saved here. It's very receptive. And it is an exciting place to be and an exciting time to be alive.
Cameron Hall with Steadfast Oklahoma City, and I've been through a lot of churches in my life, but the thing that I can really point to with Steadfast OKC that really sets it apart for me is the whole church feels like family. I don't feel like I go anywhere or I'm ever with the church and I don't feel like I'm with family that I've been raised with. Everyone is a super tight-knit group. We love having a bunch of fellowship, and we'll even have visitors. Other pastors or preachers will come preach for us, and even they'll point out, man, you guys have something really special here. Your church is really close, and you take that for granted. And then there was a time where I was actually going to some different churches before I came back, and I realized, my wife and I realized, it's like going to Diet Coke, and then you come back to the real thing, right? It's like, you know, Steadfast OKC, the real thing, TM. And,
just for the taste of it.
That's right. That's right. And OKC, on top of having, we have a great evangelist in Brother Furr, very knowledgeable in the Bible, great leadership. I think we've got great men, great preachers there, Brother Salvador. We had a huge rotation of men that would preach, lots of very zealous young families, and we've got older families that are you can look to, they're very wise, that have really instructed in a lot of ways for maybe those people that don't have parents that are saved, that are looking for that older wisdom. I love Steadfast Oklahoma City. I moved from my hometown to Oklahoma City to come to this church. I don't regret it for a second. It is a fantastic church. I'm so thankful to God that we have Steadfast Oklahoma City.
I love the people here, and I obviously love our pastor. It's a great area. There's a lot to do here. And just the fellowship of all the great people that attend this church.
What we like about Steadfast is family integrated, lots of children here, and it doesn't bother anyone. We love that. Also, just the atmosphere is very different than other churches that we have been to. People are very friendly and graceful, loving, and yeah, we just really like it here.
That I like a lot about this church is the unity. A lot of people that visit, they talk about that unity, they see that. It's just a great church. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you come and visit and just see for yourself.
So what's the soul winning like?
The soul winning is great. And that is another great point of this church is most every member goes out soul winning. And so that, I think, increases that unity. And, you know, when it's like when you have your job that you go to and you work around certain guys and you can depend on each other and trust each other. You kind of develop a relationship and you get a strong bond of, hey, I can count on this guy. And when you're in a battle or in work, you just grow stronger together. And I really believe that the soul winning does that in this church.
Keep eating it because I'm that hungry.
I love corn so much, and I hate this. It's like soggy and margarine soaked.
Did you say margarine?
I think so.
So how's the chicken? How's the chicken? Well, you like jerky, right? Because it seems like you've been buying a lot of jerky on this trip. Is this more jerky?
I've never had chicken jerky.
Until today.
Until today.
So surely the fries are good, right?
The fries aren't even good. This is like seriously the worst food I've ever had. It's so overrated. I was always like, oh, Cracker Barrel. And
it's like... That's what made me feel sick.
What?
I literally feel sick.
Do you need to rest in the bathroom?
I don't know.
Don't make a mess.
I might.
Hey.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises.
I love this church. I love Pastor Burzins. I started listening to Pastor Burzins probably about a week after I got saved by you, actually, watching a video. And I'd been wanting to go to his church for such a long time. But during that whole time, I was listening to mostly him. And he's been a huge factor to my growth as a Christian and an encouragement to actually start taking steps to grow and to actually start standing for what is right. And he's been a huge encouragement. This church has been an encouragement. Me and my brothers, we drive 2.5 hours every Sunday and every Wednesday to come to church because it's just such a great church. It's one you can learn the Bible. And you're not just like learning little bits and pieces here and there. You're actually learning the whole counsel of God. So you're growing just as fast as you can eat it. And it's a... The soul winning is a big part. I feel like that was the biggest thing for me, was finding a church that was soul winning. When I couldn't find a church that wasn't soul winning, it just kept eating at me that I wasn't able to do it. So it's a huge blessing to have just a good KJV-only Bible-preaching church that's not afraid to preach against the major issues of this world, and that'll preach hard, preach the truth, go soul winning, and it puts an emphasis on the fear of God over the fear of man.
People of Mountain Baptist Church, but also the genuine care and love that the church has for the lost, and the love that they have to tell them the truth, even if it would be uncomfortable about where they would spend eternity.
I've been a Christian since I was like 10 years old and always went to fundamental churches and trying to find the most fundamental one, and when one would go bad, I'd move on to the next one, have to challenge the pastor many times, you know, this isn't right, and finally came to this church and the pastor's great. I never have to go to them and say, why are you supporting these people, or why are you doing this? And it's just been a blessing. It's the best church I've ever been to.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Brother,
hold on. I just want to say something. Brother Ray obviously is Pastor Anderson's dad, but he's also a church member. Him and, of course, Miss Denise have literally been with us since day number one. So they're just have been a huge blessing. And they've been with us since the very first service of Radio Baptist Church. So we are just, we love them and we're just grateful for them.
Thank you very much.
Well, I love it because I actually drive about 45 minutes because I couldn't find a church like this in my hometown. And I've known Pastor Jimenez a long time, known his wife before they were a pastor, and they were always the real deal. What you see, they lived the life before they were actually even a pastor and a pastor's wife. They're already doing it. So I love coming here because I know he's going to stay true to the King James Bible. He's going to stay true to soul winning, and he's going to continue on. And I don't, even if I get backslidden, I know he's going to continue on doing what the Bible says. So that's why I love Verity.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
How's it going?
Thank you for the sermon.
Yeah.
Anyone wants to take a picture?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Brother Mejia here from FWBCLA, located in El Monte, California. You know, more important than all the content found on this channel is knowing where you're going to go when you die. You know, the Bible tells us that what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I want to take a couple minutes in this video to show you from the Bible how you can know 100% that when you die, that you will go to heaven. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So the Bible tells us that we can know that we're going to go to heaven when we die. The Bible tells us that we can know that we're saved here on this earth and that we will no longer go to hell, that we have eternal life. It's something we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know, there's a lot of people out there that believe you have to work your way to heaven. You have to keep God's commandments, get baptized, be a good person, and the list goes on and on and on. But the Bible actually teaches us that there's only one thing you have to do, and it's actually quite simple. I want to share that with you, but before I do, we need to lay a foundation. There's a couple things you have to understand first before we get into that one thing. Number one, admit that you're a sinner. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. And according to the Bible, we're all sinners. And in fact, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it tells us, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." So the Bible tells us that there's no one on this earth who does right all the time. Well, why is that? Well, again, the Bible tells us it's because we're all sinners. And in fact, one of the Ten Commandments states, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," which is lying. And I think you'd be able to admit, as well as myself and pretty much everyone else in the world, that we've all told a lie, which would confirm that we're all sinners. The Bible also states there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So the Bible tells us that we are sinners, that we've broken God's commandments, that we have violated His rules. And because of that, we're sinners. The second thing that God wants you to understand is that there's a penalty for your sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." That word wage simply means payment or what you earn. So what God is stating there is that what you earn because of your sin, what you deserve because you've sinned against God, is death. Now, when we think of death, we think of a physical death that we're all going to experience one day. But when the Bible talks about death, it's actually referring to a place called hell. And in fact, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 through 15, that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, a synonym for the word hell is also the lake of fire. And in fact, in Revelation 21:8, it gives us a list of people who are going to go there. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So it goes through a pretty bad list. It talks about murderers and whoremongers and the abominable. And you may think to yourself, "Well, I've never done any of those things." But then the list finishes off with saying that even liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That would include yourself. That would include me. That would include the whole world. You know, we need to understand that the penalty for our sin is a place called hell. Hell is a real place. It's a place of fire and brimstone where people go to pay for their sins for all of eternity. But here's the good news. The good news is that God loves us and doesn't want us to go to hell. And in fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son Jesus Christ to this earth. The Bible tells us that he was born of a virgin, that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And that during his ministry, he did a lot of miracles. He healed the deaf and the blind. He fed the multitude. He resurrected the dead from the grave, and he also preached the word of God, which ultimately got him arrested, turned into the authorities, and crucified on a cross. And the Bible tells us that when he was hanging on the cross, that he himself bore our own sins on his own body on a tree. What does that mean? Well, specifically what that's talking about is that he took the sins of the whole world upon himself. Think about this. He took the smallest of sins as well as the biggest of sins. He took a small sin such as lying, and he paid for that. He also took the biggest of sins such as murder or even suicide, and he paid for that. And in fact, he paid for the entire spectrum of sins, from lying all the way up until suicide and everything in between. He paid for it all. And the Bible tells us that God hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, when he died, the Bible tells us that his soul went to hell for 3 days and 3 nights. But the Bible explains to us that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption, and on the third day he resurrected from the grave. Now let me ask you this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all your sins? Do you believe that he resurrected on the third day? You know, the obvious answer is that he died for everyone. But the question remains, does that mean that everyone's going to heaven? Well, if you remember from Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8, it showed us a list of people who are not going to go to heaven. In fact, they're going to spend the rest of eternity in a place called hell. So if Jesus Christ died for everyone, but not everyone's going to heaven, what is it that we have to do to have everlasting life? What is it that we have to do to be saved and to go to heaven? Well, the Bible explains to us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Bible tells us that what we deserve or what we earn because of sin is death. But God is offering a gift. That gift is called eternal life, but it's only found through Jesus Christ. Many people are trying to obtain that gift through good works, through going to church, through getting baptized, through repenting of their sins, whereas the Bible says that that gift can only be found through Jesus Christ. You see, at the beginning of the video, I had explained that there's only one thing you have to do to be saved. It's not keeping God's commandments. It's not doing good works. It's not repenting of your sin or even being consistent in church. It's actually a lot easier than that. And in fact, there's a guy in the Bible who actually asked the question what he had to do to be saved. And this is the response that he got. In Acts chapter 16, verse 30 to 31, it states, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they answered and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You see, the one thing you have to do in order to be saved, to have everlasting life, to go to heaven, to be saved from hell, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, the most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16, where the Bible states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Bible talks about believe, it's not referring to just a mere mental assent that he exists. When it talks about believe, it's actually synonymous with the word trust. So what the Bible's commanding us to do is to trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. And why is that? Well, because the vast majority of people are trusting in themselves to go to heaven. They're trusting in their own effort and their own obedience and their own surrender in order to go to heaven. Whereas the Bible tells us that we have to believe on, or we have to trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross and his resurrection to go to heaven. In fact, John chapter 3, verse 36 states, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, there's two types of people in this world. Those who believe on Jesus Christ, they have everlasting life. But those who don't believe on Christ will not see life, but God's wrath is on them. What does that mean? They're not saved. They're going to go to hell when they die. Now, here's the last point that I want to make, is that once we're saved, once we believe on Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we have eternal life, everlasting life. What does that mean? Well, it means that we can never lose our salvation. In other words, once we're saved, we're always saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the Bible tells us that we're saved by faith. What does that mean? We're saved by believing, specifically, of course, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that it's not of yourself. What does that mean? Well, it means that it's not of our own effort. It's not through our works or anything that we do on our part. Why? Because Jesus Christ did all the work for us by dying for us, by resurrecting. He did all the work. Therefore, it's not of ourselves. And then it goes on to say that it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God compares salvation to a gift. A gift is something that is freely given, not earned. It's something that is given and something that someone does not have to pay for. That's why it's referred to as a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in fact, we know that salvation can never be lost because of the fact that it's called eternal life. Eternal is basically stating that it never ends. So eternal life is a life that never ends. Now, if God promises us eternal life, the Bible tells us that God is not a man that he should lie. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This is how we know that we can never lose our salvation. It's by faith, it's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, and it's not of works. So let me review with you. We're all sinners, and because of sin, we deserve hell. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and resurrected the third day. And the Bible explains to us that all we have to do to be saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, just trust in Him for our salvation. And once we trust in Him, we can never lose our salvation. We have everlasting life. We have eternal life, and it can never be lost. Now let me show you briefly how you can be saved at this moment. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the Bible tells us that you can be saved at this moment if you simply call upon the name of the Lord. You simply tell God what you already believe in your heart, which is that you're a sinner, you deserve hell for sin, but you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that He resurrected on the third day, and that you're placing all your trust in Him to be saved. I'd like to lead you in a prayer so you can get saved at this moment. Keep in mind that there's nothing special about my words. There's nothing magical about them. It's simply an example, a template that you can use to get saved at this moment. Go ahead and bow your head and close your eyes and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I deserve hell. But I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and that He resurrected on the third day. I place my trust 100% in Jesus Christ for my salvation, and I thank You for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, the Bible says that you have everlasting life, that today is the day of your salvation. I'd like to congratulate you on that. Feel free to email me at fwbcla1@gmail.com. Hope you enjoy the content found on this channel. God bless and have a great one.